Today on the Rising Coaches Podcast.
And again, you got this crossroads, like, how am I going to navigate this? And for your young coaches listening, you know, you play the truth card. You know, I didn't want to play any games. I was just very honest. I had a couple of opportunities and Coach Eggers, I really just wanted to, if I could, take a little bit of time and sort this out and, you know, without coming across the wrong way. And he was great. And sure enough, it was like a day later, I was offered, Irv Vinegar offered me the North Dakota State job as a grad assistant. That's what we've been working for. Called Coach Eggers, and sure enough, a week later, man, I read in the paper or whatever it was that he's off and he took an assistant job at Pepperdine, you know? So welcome to college coaching. I mean, this stuff's fragile.
Today's podcast is brought to you by the Rising Coaches Association, the biggest coaching tree in all of basketball. Sign up for the Rising Coaches Association now for just $120 a year and become part of our community, relationships, and development. We talk about it all the time. There's no straight lines in this profession. There's only ups and downs. You need a community that knows exactly what you're going through and has been there before to help lean on during the rough times of the industry. You need genuine relationships, not just exchanging numbers, not just meeting new people at the Final Four in the off season. You should be doing it all year round, and we provide tremendous opportunities to create those genuine relationships all through the year. And finally, development. We have so much content and so many resources so that you can work on your craft and become a better coach. Because we put such a premium and an emphasis on helping you establish new, genuine relationships, it takes all of the political BS side of the business out of the equation for you. All of that gets removed off of your plate. You can just worry about being you, making new friends in the business, and working on your craft and becoming the best coach that you can be and impacting the people that you're around on a daily basis. For more information, visit risingcoaches.com/membership on risingcoaches.com. Welcome back to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. I'm Adam Gordon and very excited about our show today. We are joined by Jeff Rutter of Miami of Ohio. And before we bring Jeff in, I just want to make a couple announcements and some housekeeping. First of all, today's episode is brought to you by Lucio Sports. They are the best in sports tech. Anything you need to do with your athletes, with your staff, can be done through Lucio Sports. Their apps, their suite of apps, allows you to communicate seamlessly with everybody involved in your program. And they are revolutionizing the way huddles are going down. No longer do you need to sit there with a whiteboard and scribble lines that no one can read to try to draw up a play. Their whiteboard app provides animated play diagrams that you can now use. The big news, the NCAA is allowing technology in huddles starting next season. So you want to get ahead of that with your program. And the Lucio app allows you, again, to play animated play diagrams in the huddle. And you've seen some NBA coaches use it the last couple of years. You've seen a couple of high school and college coaches use it in conferences where that was allowed. And the statistics that they've gathered are really impressive. They improve ATO efficiency and effectiveness. And you can get through a play diagram, an animation, 4 to 5 times in a 30-second timeout. So just imagine, instead of having to draw everything up and talk through it, you pull out your iPad, you hit play, and everybody watches where they're supposed to go, and then you press play again, and then you press play again, and you press play again, and you tell them they're guarding, and timeout's over. So visit our friends, luciosports.com, or follow them on social media. One last thing with Lucio, they just launched our new Rising Coaches profile pages. So if you're a member of Rising Coaches, you now will get a public-facing coaching profile for free, compliments of Lucio Sports. So visit risingcoaches.com and sign up for a membership today to get all of those free perks from Lucio Sports. Also, we have our events coming up. Our Rising Coaches Conference are back in person, and we can't wait. We can't wait to see people live and in action. So the first one will be held, the 12th Annual Rising Coaches Conference West will be held June 17th through the 18th in Phoenix at State Farm Stadium, where the Super Bowl was held. and very excited for that. That's in conjunction with the Section 7 high school recruiting event. That will be one of the recruiting periods, and Section 7 does one of the best jobs on the West Coast of putting together those events. There'll be a couple hundred teams in Phoenix that weekend. So we hope you guys can join us there. And Rising Coaches Conference East will be July 6th through the 7th in Atlanta. And of course, the AAU period starts at 8 a.m. on the 8th. So most of the coaching world will be in Georgia that weekend, and we'll be there to get it kickstarted with the Rising Coaches Conference. We can't wait. If you sign up by May 22nd, you can get $25 off. The rate for non-members is $175 with that early bird special, and members get an additional $100 off. So $75. Visit risingcoaches.com for all of the info on those events. Wow, Jeff, that was a lot. I'm worn out already.
I'm impressed, man. You're a jack of all trades.
Very excited to have Jeff Rutter on today, Miami of Ohio assistant coach. Jeff, how are you today?
Doing great. Adam, and yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing really good and excited to have you on for a lot of reasons, which I'll get into. But looks like you're in the office there. Are we working on scheduling? What are we working on today?
Boy, a lot of juggling, man. It was it's always scheduling, right, this time of year. We got together with our women's staff this morning, and we did like I think it was like 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And we just settled in our film room and still socially distanced and masked up and everything, right? But we just talked basketball for 2 hours. DeAndra Hendricks has taken over here the last 2 years. She was at High Point. She's terrific. She's got a great staff. And our staff and theirs, we settled in and tried to get a little better and shared with each other. So that was a bonus for today. But yeah, a lot of scheduling, and fortunately, right, knock on wood, recruiting, at least for 21, is completed. And hope that it stays that way, of course, and moving on to the next class. So no, always something, but we're good. I'm honored to be on here with you. I appreciate the invite. I've listened now for couple of years. It's kind of funny, prior to the pandemic, my wife and I, we get out, and these people, they kind of laugh and joke a little bit. They see us in town in Oxford. It's not speed walking, but it is aerobic walking. All right, I was at UW Parkside, where they had nationally renowned speed walkers, so we're not at that level by any means, but we try to get out and get moving a little bit, old people work out, and I'll speak for myself, not for her. But it was a time to catch up as well and visit. And that pandemic hit, and you're around each other all the time. So now we just pop the old headphones on and tap into our own podcasts. And I hear Adam Gordon all the time.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And I'm sure your wife is a bigger fan, because it gets you plugged in her break, right?
You're a smart guy. Absolutely. Yeah, it's all good. But now you do a great job with this. You ask great questions, and you've been in the trenches, and you've had some fantastic guests. And, it's just fun to – there's so many different opportunities, whether it be podcasts or now all the virtual clinics and presentations. Just having that access to continue learning is – it's fun, important, and fun.
Yeah, it's been great to see all of that stuff emerge in the last – 18 months here. But yeah, Jeff, first of all, I appreciate you saying all that, and I'm equally excited to have you on the show as a guest. And we got to know each other. You probably don't remember this, but I was at Northern Colorado for a year. This is probably 2011. Yep. And this is the first time that you and I met, and we've known each other now for about 10 years. And we came to play a bye game at Hilton Magic, right?
Yeah, Hilton Coliseum.
Hilton Arena, Hilton Coliseum. And so I was the ops guy at Northern Colorado. I think at that time you were the ops person or assistant coach.
I think it was my first year with Fred Hoiberg.
That's right. That's right.
Director of basketball ops. I'd been with Greg McDermott, as an assistant, right?
Yeah, and at that time you already had accomplished so much in your coaching career, and here I was like, I don't know, 25 years old, 26. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And probably just called you for a practice time and got to talking then. And I think you greeted us when we showed up. But it always struck me, and it was pretty immediate, Jeff, that and I still think it's true to this day, one of the kindest people, in the profession by far. And I do appreciate that.
Thank you. Competitive.
Well, it's a competitive profession and people it's busy and you got to juggle a lot of things, but you always take time to like actually connect with the people you're talking to. I know that sounds simple, but what a novel idea, right?
No, I appreciate you saying that, Adam. That's very kind. I you know, know how to respond other than to say I'm very fortunate, grew up with some great parents and friends and mentors and people that I've worked with, 31 years, going on 32 years of coaching at the college level. And I've been with some great people, not good people, great people that just, I know it's overused, right? Doing things the right way. That's kind of the catchphrase now. People talk about culture and now they're saying playing the right way and doing things the right way, but truthfully have been. Yeah, been lucky that way. So thank you for the kind words. Back at you as well.
And also staying on that game, that was a fun trip for us because number one, we found some like dive bar the night before the game. This is stuff I can talk about now. Now that I'm out of coaching, I can talk about this stuff all the time. Right? So we found some dive bar the night before the game. There was karaoke. It was a mess. It was a lot of fun. We had a great time. And then there might have been a football game? There was some other big event or maybe like winter graduation. There was something going on where there were a lot of people in town and the buzz was in the air. And then the game itself, like we were not good that year, but we almost beat you guys. I think it was tied with like a minute and a half to go. And you guys made some plays down the stretch to win it. But it was a great game.
Yeah. Probably Deontay Garrett. He was our good guard that year. And he, I think he might've made some plays late.
And you had the big guy that was really good at, was really skilled. Was it Royce White? Is that his name?
Well, I'm trying to think of the year now. You said 10-11 or 11-12. If it was 11-12, you know, that was the year, you know, with Royce White, Chris Allen.
That was it because Royce was definitely on that team.
Chris Babb, Melvin Edgem, George was on that team, right? George Niang. That was a good really team. Good. Yeah,
you guys were really good.
We beat UConn that year in the first round and
we just caught you sleeping. You guys saw right on the schedule.
I don't know.
But we didn't win, so like you guys still took care of business.
Good stuff, man. A lot of good memories.
Absolutely. Well, talk to me about, you know, you've been at it a long time. You've been at a lot of places. You work for a lot of great coaches. We were just talking offline before we jumped on here. You know, you got a head coaching job pretty early on. Maybe 30 years old, 31, when you took over at Wisconsin Parkside, not too far from where you grew up, right?
Right outside of Milwaukee, just south of Milwaukee, right?
And that Division III school or D2 at the time?
D2, yeah. D2. Yeah.
Okay, and in that league, you got Bruce Pearl?
Yeah, it was a Cadillac league. It was the GLVC, Great Lakes Valley Conference, some would say the number one Division II league in the country, and it was when I got the job, it was Parkside was going into its second year. So there were some program components, we'll say, that just were not up to par. And I'm a rookie head coach, and I'm sure those two things, that made for an interesting situation. But it was a little bit of gunfight with knives. Bruce Pearl was at Southern Indiana, winning national championships. And Ray Harper was at Kentucky Wesleyan. Ken Shields right down the road from us here in Oxford, down in Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky area, was at Northern Kentucky. And the list goes on. Jim Weitzel is now at Buffalo. He was at Lewis. And Royce Waltman, the late Royce Waltman, was at University of Indianapolis. And
yeah, what a league.
Steve Hawkins, longtime Western Michigan coach, was at Quincy. So it was, you were thrown into the fire. I was 31 at the time. I had been at North Dakota State, and that's a story in itself, you know, just like how you get that opportunity. I played at Winona State, was not a great player, got a degree, finished, and went and got a teaching job in northern Wisconsin, got married and teaching job and did that for 2 years. And during those 2 years, just trying to find a way to get into college coaching and knew that the grad assistantship was probably the way to go. So that was that's a story in itself, right? But if we want to stick on the Parkside deal, 5 years at NDSU, moved from Fargo to Florida. Love Fargo, great place, great people, but we moved Fargo to Florida to thaw out. And I was at Stetson for a year. And then after 1 year, you know, I had the opportunity to go to Wisconsin Parkside. And, you know, again, along the way of 31 years of doing this, you get to some crossroads of having to make some decisions, you know, not only for yourself and your family, but just how that impacts the program, maybe that you're leaving and and the timing. But I was 31. It was a great opportunity to get my first head coaching job. And, we threw ourselves into that deal.
Yeah. And you guys improved every year and it looks like you guys did a great job. And I think 6 years, you spent six seasons there before
seven,
moving on.
Yeah, seven. Yeah. And we made some gradual progress and those program improvements, components improved from a scholarship standpoint and operating, staffing, things like that. And, you know, just learning how to win and recruiting, you know, some guys that, you know, could compete at that level with those heavyweights. And we did. We had some good teams, and we just got to a point where, even though I was, you know, kind of in my home territory of that kind of Milwaukee area and family, but it was really, and I think, you know, like your listeners and yourself can understand, you get to some points at times where you're just ready for a new challenge and professional growth. And really, it was nothing more than that. Parkside's a great place, and Luke Regal was our assistant the last 3 years, and he took over when I left. And he's a terrific coach and a great guy, and he's had really good success there. So I know they have some new administration, and they're doing really good things there. But yeah, we were just ready for a change, professional growth. Had an opportunity to go with Greg McDermott to Northern Iowa.
So this is one of the questions that we get all the time is, you know, people always ask about levels, you know, hey, I'm a small college head coach. I want to go be a Division I assistant, or should I go, you know, I may have this opportunity. Should I go? Should I leave? Will I ever get to be a head coach again? Like, do you have any thoughts now that you're like, you know, that was, you know, 20 years ago or whatever, 15 yeah. years ago,
yeah.
now that you're removed from it, any thoughts or advice there to give yeah. when it comes to like entertaining moving on?
Right. I think, you know, more than anything, you know, you got to pull the plus minus chart out, right? And you try to be objective about it and forward thinking and have some vision. And, you know, there's no utopia. But, you know, there's times where, you know, you need to do some soul searching and talk with your family and talk about goals. And this, you know, I was really fortunate after, again, finishing at Winona State high school level for 2 years, working my tail off to try to get my foot in the door somewhere, you know, one of those 150, 200 random letters out to, you know, high majors, mid majors, low majors, small college, everyone, and got a lot of Dear John letters. Saw a lot of nice stationery coming back my way, but no takers. And then after that second year, had an opportunity at Wayne State College in Nebraska, Division II at the time, to interview with the head coach, Steve Eggers, at the Final Four in Denver. So I'm up in northern Wisconsin. I take off 1990, right? Drive this Honda Civic to Denver to meet with Steve Eggers. And through working camps and such, I buddy up with a friend of mine, Dave Schlaubaugh, who's currently the head coach at Cornell College in Iowa. Great guy, great coach. He's like, hey, you can stay with me. I'm at the Thunderbird Motel in Denver. if you don't mind, you know, my roommate's Don Showalter, and he'll be fine with it. Of course, Don's a Hall of Fame coach in Iowa, 40 plus years. He's with the USA national team and, you know, one of the best coaches and teachers in the country. And I'm sleeping on their floor, and it was a great way to meet Coach Showalter. And we laugh about it to this day. But, you know, interviewed with Steve Eggers. It went well. He invited me out the next week to Wayne State. So drove back to Wisconsin and back, you know, to Wayne State to do an official interview. Well, a week before the Final Four, I get an opportunity to go to North Dakota State to interview there. And then, I, you know, I'm that close. I, I knew of Rich Glass, and I drove another hour and a half north and interviewed with Rich Glass at his daughter's track meet. And his wife put a blanket around me. It was cold, man. It was spring in Grand Forks. Like, come on, it's cold. But so I had these potential opportunities, and really felt like the North Dakota thing there. It was a kind of a remote possibility because he felt he had his guy coming back. But the NDSU one was wide open, and that was the one that I really hoped to get. But after interviewing with Steve Eggers, he offers me the job. And again, you got this crossroads, like, how am I going to navigate this? And for your young coaches listening, you play the truth card. I didn't want to play any games. I was just very honest. I had a couple opportunities, and Coach Eggers, I really just wanted to, if I could, take a little bit of time and sort this out. And, without coming across the wrong way. And he was great. And sure enough, it was like a day later, I was offered, Irv Vinegar offered me the North Dakota State job as a grad assistant. That's what we've been working for. Called Coach Eggers. And sure enough, a week later, man, I read in a paper or whatever it was that he's off. He took an assistant job at Pepperdine, So welcome to college coaching. I mean, this stuff's fragile. But we went up to Fargo and had a great experience, and there's a lot of twists and turns, during those 5 years. But back to your question, sorry, got sidetracked. It was just a burning desire, and it probably, again, 7 years at Parkside, year five, year six, year seven, we were, our eyes and ears and antennas were up kind of looking for maybe the new experience. And sure. We got that with Greg McDermott. Appreciated, his opportunity there. And, we went to three NCAAs and had a great run, had a great staff. Ben Jacobson, PJ Hogan, Ron Smith, great guys, really good players. Fun experience, And, again, got the professional growth, got that new experience, and then went with Greg to Iowa State.
What's up, podcast fans? I want to share some information about one of our partners, Lucio Sports. The team at Lucio has built an integrated platform of coaching productivity and player development apps that are being used by some of the best basketball programs around the globe, helping everyone from NBA champions to youth development academies. Their innovative and competitive memorization games make it so much easier for new players and staff members to remotely get caught up to speed. With animated playbooks, drill libraries, player development planning and monitoring, engaging game plans and scouting reports, predictive play drawing, their content services team, and more, Lucio Sports has got you covered. From players to coaches to support staff and executives, use Lucio Sports to securely keep everyone in your organization on the same page with simple on-demand access to your team's entire knowledge base. For more information, check out luciosports.com. That's L-U-C-E-O sports.com.
Yeah, let's talk about Greg for a minute. What is it about him that makes him so good at what he does and win everywhere he goes?
Yeah, well, very good ball coach, very, very smart, really, really good teacher, creative offensive mind, doesn't get enough credit for his defense as well. But organized and, one of the things that I always picked up is he would talk about doing your work early, whether it's recruiting, whether it's a game prep, just trying to be ahead of things. So, you weren't scrambling and you could really be thorough and well thought out. And there was always, I thought, great purpose with our teams. We knew who we were, just again, recruited really good players and, just really good ball coach and a really good person. And, we were together for 7 years.
Yeah. And after maybe 4 years at Iowa State, Greg leaves and goes to Creighton, and you have the opportunity to go with him as an assistant there, but decided to turn it down. Talk to me about that decision and what all went into that.
Right. Now, that was tough. We were hoping our son was he had 2 years left of high school, and oh man, we were hoping. We had just moved around a bunch. I'm trying to think. My wife and I, we've been married for, we're going on 33. I think we've had 12 moves and 7 different universities, 8 different head coaches. And our son was at a point where he was really in a good place and doing well, and we just didn't want to move him. Greg had a great opportunity. You know, we were going, my wife, we just didn't want to move. So she just said, hey, why don't you go to Omaha? We'll stay here in Ames. I'm like, really? Okay. So I tell Mac, you know, hey, count on me, man. I'm coming, you know. And then, man, a day of, it was like a day later, and the, you know, day that he was leaving ahead of the press conference, just couldn't do it. I just said, Mac, I got one kid, man. We're lucky to have him. I just can't do it. You know, I'm gonna stay. And he's like, Rutt, he says, you're making the decision for all the right reasons. You know, like, he respected it, and they hadn't made a hire yet. But I, you know, kind of rolled the dice on that. Didn't know if I'd be selling popcorn or tickets or what, but they hired Fred Hoiberg, and I was fortunate to stay on, you know, his staff as director of basketball operations, and just saw a different way of doing things, and had a great experience with Fred, and really appreciated, you know, that opportunity that that he gave me.
Well, good for you for making that decision for your family. That's another, like, hard one, which you could spend a whole podcast on.
Right.
Is just talking about those decisions and the sacrifices you have to make in this profession and the constant turnover. But, you know, especially at that age, with, you know, with probably a sophomore, junior in high school.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was not an easy one, but
no.
Looking back, well, I'm sure it was the right one, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, later that year, was his junior year? January, tears his ACL in a game, you know, and really tough. And, but I was right there, you know, with him, and our family was together in the same house and that whole deal. So sometimes things work out for a reason. You know, I was able to be there to give him that support. It really would have been difficult, you know, living somewhere else. But, boy, I'll tell you, and this is just kind of a little side note that, again, I'm trying to think of some things again with your listeners that could apply and help along the way. You know, when I look back, yeah, there were some really good decisions that we've made. But trust me, and we talked off the air, you know, I think in particular in Parkside, but, you know, before that, after that, and even to this day, right, still trying to be my best and work at it. But just having that, some type of balance, right, in season, never equal balance, you know, 50% family, 50% work. And it's a time out of season difficult for that as well. But, you know, when I think back on those Parkside years, I needed to have better balance. I needed to understand that sometimes less is more, and that it's great to, you know, be all in and guns a-blazing, attacking every day and work and try to build this thing and get it over the hump. But I needed to be more mature. You know, I needed to just say, hey, secure in myself and put this aside or delegate this or that. And, you know, I think throughout the years, certainly with help from my wife, prodding and educating me, you know, been better at that, but, you know, really important. So again, you go about each day trying to win the day, trying to think of others and trying to make good decisions and yet still try to grow within the profession. So
yeah, that makes you, even on the work side, like, it probably makes you a better coach, right? If the more secure you are with yourself and who you are, the better you can impart what you have to impart to others, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, you want to be a good role model, you know, for your guys, and you know, you got one-on-ones and you share different stories with them, and you know, I think you can have just another way that you can impact in a positive way. You know, the guys you work with, the guys that you coach.
Okay, after your stint at Iowa State, I may be leaving a couple jumps off here, but you end up at Drake as an assistant coach for Ray Giacoletti. Mm-hmm. And was it in his fourth year that did they make a change? Did he step down? What happened?
Yeah, he stepped down in his fourth year. So, you know, we had been with Mac for the four at Iowa State and then with Fred. I'm ops and just wanted to keep growing in the profession, wanted to try to position myself for a Division I head coaching job. And really that's part of the reason why we left Parkside. Like, hey, let's try to get to the Division I level. And, you know, a friend of mine, Mike Marquis, a head coach at Tyler Junior College, he coached Jimmy Butler. We had one of his players, Jamie Vanderbeek, maybe on that team that you've made reference to. But Mike would always, his philosophy, part of his philosophy is dribble high and let it fly, you know, on the floor, off the floor. Dribble high and let it fly. I love it. There's just times you got to bet on yourself, you know, you got to just go for it. Like, have a plan, have a vision, and then, you know, figure that out and then work it and take some calculated risks. But we had a great situation at Iowa State, really loved it. People we worked with, it's a great place. And had that opportunity to get back on the road, back on the floor. Ray, you know, gave us that opportunity. Sandy Hatfield Club was the athletic director at the time. It's funny, Ray and I, we were brokering this deal, you know, and I said, Coach, I said, we got one more thing. Now our son, you know, he's just finishing his senior year in high school. You know, he'd love to walk on. How would you feel about that? Right. Gotta have him. Ray says, you know, like never had seen him play. I mean, that says a lot. And Ray's to this day is a dear friend, but yeah, we went down there and we try to build that thing with young guys. And Ray would always say, now Ray, you know, had been a head coach at Utah, Eastern Washington, had been at Gonzaga with Mark Few for 5 years and then came to Drake. He's like, Rut, it's tougher on the front end, but you know, when you do it with all those young guys, but it's something that you can really sustain success, you know, once you get over the hump and those guys sure. Some seasoning. And it was we had some good stretches throughout those 3 years, and we get into the fourth year. We had a big kid transfer the year before, and you know, just some close games. And Ray is a fierce competitor, man, and it was really taking a toll on him. And you know, he felt that the team just needed a new voice, and he felt it was best if he stepped aside. I said, Ray, I respectfully disagree. You know, I think we're close. You know, that whole deal. And but no, he made the decision to step aside, and they named me head coach rest of the season. So, you know, great opportunity. Certainly would have wanted it in a different way.
Sure.
You know, I heard Joe Prunty talk about when he took over for Jason Kidd. I was just listening. I know it was a couple months ago or a couple weeks.
Yeah, probably a month or two ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great podcast. But he's like, well, we've got a game tonight, and you know, our mission is to put our best foot forward and try to win the game. So, you know, we had to move forward. Ray had laid a great foundation. And so we moved on, man. Like Doc Rivers would say, you know, this deal's about it's a partnership. You tell the guys, you know, like, again, everybody I've been with, they've just done a great job of instilling confidence in guys. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, our guys knew, because sometimes you go through those tough times and coaches are emotional and it's a difficult environment at times. And this was kind of a fresh start for all of us. And Ray knew that. That's part of the reason why he chose to do what he did. And we just said, I don't know if I used the phrase dribble high, let it fly, but we did embrace the three. And
yeah,
we tried to, you know, we tried to play fast and free, and we had a pretty good run, man. We won 5 straight at home. We won at Missouri State, first time in like 25 years. I thought that president and the AD were going to pull the trigger on the deal, you know, but, you know, it just didn't work out that way. And that's okay. You know, the president was in his second year, and I think at the end of the day, you know, he wanted to hire his own guy. Maybe but no regrets. We put our best foot forward, and we tried to really help our guys have a quality experience, you know, to just enjoy the journey, college basketball. And
can you, like, what time of year was it that they made the change? And like,
yeah, it was early December. We had just come back from the Great Alaska Shootout.
Okay.
And we went to DePaul in early December. Tough, tough, close loss, and then a tough overtime loss that Saturday at home against Fresno. And I got a call from Ray on Sunday, and, you know, kind of a normal deal. We talked about the game, and then Monday he called me in the office. He said, we're going to make – you know, there's going to be a change, and you're going to take over. And so the press conference was on a Tuesday, and on Wednesday mornings we always had morning practices. Early practices. And I think I've shared this story with you before, but so, hey, I was really, again, excited for the opportunity. Again, wish it could have came at a different expense, a different situation. But, you know, we had met with the staff the day before and, you know, hashed out a plan for the next couple of months, got their input, had a great group of guys. And man, that morning, I don't know if it was 5:30, 5:45, I bolted down that driveway with the car. And as I got in and I turned the song on the radio, and I normally don't listen to like 80s stuff or whatever, but the song was on by Whitesnake, and it was Here We Go Again. And I'm thinking, are you serious?
I gotta set the tone here for you.
I wasn't on my own, but here we go again. No doubt about it, man.
I'm just picturing you in your car.
Yeah.
5 a.m. right into practice. That song comes on. I got a picture in my mind. You can't ruin this image for me. I'm picturing you singing at the top of your lungs.
Oh yeah. Like
getting ready to go for practice.
Oh, bring on the juice, man. I had the juice flowing. There was one little hiccup though, as I'm coming down the driveway and I kind of pulled on into the street. I noticed that things were a little hazy, right? I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. I forgot to put my contacts in. Like, never, never forget that. I don't know what, right? But I was just so jacked up. I slammed it in park, kept the car running, ran in, popped those contacts in, man. We got to practice and let's go. It was full steam ahead, man. We just tried to embrace the opportunity and have some fun. And again, just like really pour into these guys. I'll share this with you. It was a night after the night of that press conference, and I get a call from Greg Gard, and Greg says, "Rut, hey, congratulations on getting the job. I know you would have hoped to have it under other circumstances." He says, "I wanted to share with you what Barry Alvarez told me when I ended up taking over for Bo." He's, you know, the first one is pretty obvious, saying like, "Be yourself," right? You know, Barry's like Greg, you're not going to be Bo Ryan. Just be yourself. But the other thing really struck a chord. It was like, make it be all about the guys. Make it be all about the guys. There's going to be people in the community, on campus, in the department. It's, how many games do you think you need to win? You know, how many are you going to need to win to keep the job? This and that. He's like, just have it be all about the guys. And it really aligned how I thought anyways. But it really supported that. And it was very, very helpful. It was very kind of him to make that phone call. But it was about the guys. It was about finding a way to help these 15 guys have a quality experience, practice, games, off the floor, A through Z, to be able to enjoy the journey. And, you know, you hope wins come along the way. And we did. We had some really great wins and great experiences and some tough losses and some different things. And then, again, wish it would have ended, you know, differently. But again, you put your best foot forward, and it was a life experience. So, and just have tried to carry that, you know, onto, you know, this next opportunity here at Miami, and, you know, working with great guys here. Jack Owens, he gave me a chance. I mean, things go full circle, right? In 1989, 90, I'm writing all these letters on this Brother typewriter, you know, and sending out all these cover letters trying to get a grad assistantship. Well, here we are, and what the heck year was it? 16, 17. So spring of 17, instead of writing the letters on the Brother typewriter, man, I'm blasting texts out to all my guys. Like, hey, I'm not sure how this Drake deal is going to go down, but man, if you hear of something out there, feel free to pass my name along. I'm looking. Well, Jack Owens, it was at Purdue, had a great run, gets the Miami job. I hit him with a text. Hey, and we knew each other. He was at Southern Illinois when I was at Northern Iowa, but just said, hey, congratulations on a job, man. That's awesome. Happy for you and your family. You're going to do great. Not sure what your staff situation is, right? But if you're looking, I'm, you know, things didn't work out at Drake. I'm looking. But feel free to share my name. Two days later, I get a call. He's like, hey, are you going to be in Phoenix for the Final Four? Yeah. He's like, hey, why don't we meet up Friday night? Great. And we met on Friday and we had a great talk. And he's like, hey, I'd like to meet again, you know, on Saturday. And I'm really serious about this. Great. I said, my son and I are going to the games. I go anytime before or after, wide open. He called me that next afternoon. He said, hey, I've thought about this. Talked to my wife. I prayed about it. He said, I want to offer you this job. And I was like, Jack, man, that is awesome. Thank you. I said, if you're good with it, I just want to check in with my wife. And you know, we won't jerk you around in this deal. We'll have a decision soon. You know, I'm heading back tomorrow. My wife and I, we talked. She's like, I've already watched this press conference. This is exactly the kind of guy you want to get connected with.
Good
person. And this deal's been great, man. And we've done it with young guys. We've taken some lumps. We've had good stretches. And this year, you know, in year four, we had our first winning season that Miami's had since 2009. So 12 years. And Jack's doing a great job. J.R. Reynolds on our staff. Kenny Lowe. Damon Frierson was a great player here in 99, went to the Sweet 16, and Colin Olinger. So, hey, man, we just lock arms every day and embrace these guys and try to coach them up and enjoy the journey.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, a couple things. Well, first of all, congrats on the success you guys have.
Thank you.
I've had there at Miami, and I know it's not easy to come in and rebuild, and especially with young guys in today's climate. A couple things you mentioned that I kind of want to dive deeper into. Number one, when it didn't work out at Drake, when they went in the other direction, we have this conversation all the time within Rising Coaches, like, and we were both at a Step Up last week, Felicia Hall Allen's event.
Yeah.
And so many like quality people that are really qualified that are just trying to get a head coaching job. Can you talk about like, how do you deal with that frustration? Like I know there's frustration. Everybody feels it. It's a hard business. And it's like, you know, you see other people getting jobs and it's, you know, I think for most people, when you're young, there's that like comparison. Well, I've done these things. Why are they getting these jobs? And then maybe as you get older or get past that, it's still, you know, you're happy for those people, but it's still like, man, what do I got to do to get my break?
Yeah, no, it's a great question and topic. And I have all those feelings, right? Certainly natural to, you know, have at times feelings of frustration and such. But, you know, really just it's so important to take the high road. And as you mentioned, you know, be happy for these guys. I mean, it's a competitive profession, right? Sometimes people say a great game and a tough profession. It's certainly a tough profession. You know, I just think overall, it's like, that's part of competition, you know, like that's so much of the beauty of what we do. Now, granted, like working with these young guys and trying to have a positive impact and helping them and help prepare them for life, that's so important. But like the competition of it, of practices, of games, of trying to get people at your games where there's pride and excitement and a home court advantage and competition of fundraising. And I think I mentioned recruiting, and there's this competition around every single corner in this profession, helping your guys continue to grow academically. You know, you're competing there. Like every program, probably they as a head coach assigns X number of guys to each assistant, and those are your guys, man. You gotta help those guys, and you're pulling for them, and you're competing everywhere. So, but point being is, you know, I think at the end of the day, like, the words like grateful and appreciative, they come to mind, man. It's so fortunate to have, you know, to have had these opportunities and the opportunity I have right now. So, you know, be where your feet are and, you know, all those different cliches, but it's like, try to help the program that you're in be as good as it can possibly be. And, you know, and be good with that, you know? Now, again, as I shared, like at Parkside, I got to a point you're ready for a new challenge and professional growth, and you know, been in it this long. I do. I'd love to be a head coach again. And so you have those dreams and aspirations, but you know, you just kind of keep them in check. Really, there's a filter there that there's a fine line, I guess, between just going about your own deal and working hard, and good things can happen, and then. I don't want to say self-promoting, right? But, you know, you've got to put yourself out there some, whether it's speaking on a podcast or presenting on a virtual clinic or attending Next Level, which was a great program, but just meeting people and putting yourself out there. And then, you know, at times, you know, the right thing can connect for you, you know, the right opportunity can present itself, I guess is the best way to put it, but not to get overly caught up in it. You know, I mean, I'm having a blast doing what I'm doing. So, and feel like, you know, at the end of the day, like I've got to keep bringing value in what I do, like every day for Jack Owens and our staff and our program and our players, man, I better be on my game and I got to bring value, whether it's, you know, workouts, it's game prep, it's different strategy, it's recruiting, it's scheduling, it's, you know, friend raising on campus in the community to get excitement with our program. You know, those kinds of things. So, man, after that, there's not much time left in the day, right?
That's right. I mean, it is a lot, but like you say, those dreams and aspirations, you know, are always there. And it is such a balance to do great at your job and, you know, still nurture that, you know, and, but it is, it's so hard. And look, some people spend their whole careers in this profession, never get the opportunity to be a head coach. So, in some ways you are lucky to have had two opportunities or one and a half, I guess.
Yeah, no. And to, you know, to share one of them with our son, I mean, that was, you know, I mean, those, you know, it shouldn't be just about a post-game locker room and just the, we used to kid, you know, it's like, man, winning is just such a euphoric feeling. and you know, we, those guys, all of us, we had a chance to experience that a handful of times, more than a handful of times, you know, that year. And you just hope everyone gets that chance because there's nothing just handed out, you know, you don't take it for granted.
No question.
Yeah. No, good stuff. Hope that helps.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing is just like, I get this call all the time when there is, you know, somebody does lose their job, which is inevitably going to happen if you coach long enough. Right. You know, like, what do I do? Well, you just talked about how, you know, you used to hammer out the notes on the typewriter. And now it's, you know, you're sending texts to everybody, you know, that's kind of what it takes, right? You have to tell people that you're looking. And I know that can be awkward and nobody likes being that person, but you really need to let people know, don't you?
No, you 100% do. And, you know, people don't like being a burden on others and always maybe having to ask, but when, you know, when you have genuine friendships and that's what friends do, you know, coaches helping coaches, people helping people. And, you know, there's certainly, you know, a bond, a fraternity of, you know, coaches. And we do, man, it's painful when guys lose those opportunities and you just hope, you know, they find some things. And if you can play a part in them finding some things, you certainly want to help. But, you know, yeah, it's, again, it's competitive, right? And, you know, throughout the day here, we're working on some scheduling and some like a road guarantee game. And man, we're calling and hunting. And in some ways I tell my wife, it's no different than I did in junior high when I'm calling around the neighborhood, trying to round up nine other guys that just play some pickup in 5-on-5. Like, we're just trying to make a connection here to find a game.
Yeah.
So, but you got to reach out, and the networking's important. And, you know, that's really, there's so many really cool things about our profession. Like I said, working with young guys and competition itself of the game, but the networking of getting to know, you know, to know others and to kind of learn about their lives and how we can all kind of pick each other up, you know, at times and share different things with us. And there's so much out there now to share, whether it's, you know, books or these presentations or podcasts or just different little things. You know, it's just, it's fun to have a good network of people.
Yeah. And you, like we talked about at the beginning, you do a great job building those genuine relationships, which is something we talk about all the time. Is there any other piece of advice you could leave our listeners with that are in this profession and, you know, at any stage, really?
Yeah. You know, I think, again, I mentioned the word value, you know, to make sure that's first and foremost, right? Is like, what kind of value can I bring? You know, so for a young guy trying to get an entry level position, let's say, you know, what is the value you bring other than like being a great guy, having a positive attitude, having a relentless work ethic? What else, right? Hey, I'm a great tech guy, like with film, you know, film breakdowns and edits and all those kinds of things, man. I've done it. I'm really good at it. You know, like I can bring this to your program, or man, with a computer, I can do this and help with social media and these graphics and this and that. That's great. And I love the game. I played some, but I just have a passion for this. Like, okay, this person is bringing some great value, especially to a dinosaur like myself who needs help in those areas, like knows what he wants, but doesn't know how quite to do it. And, or how about the young guy that, you know, maybe was a really good player or maybe just, you know, learned along the way, but is a really, really good development guy or person. Right. And so, you know, again, depending on your position and the NCAA rules and this and that, but how this young person get in and just be involved in some workouts and things like that can bring value. you know, maybe some recruiting ties, again, within the rules and all that. But, you know, they've been part of some AAU programs. I heard Travis Steele at Xavier talk about, you know, just in his in his steps climbing the ladder, how he had been part of, you know, the Indy Heat program, an Indiana Elite program, and a really good high school program, then a really good junior college program. So, like, he's tapped into all these different pools of players, and it gets that opportunity and brings that to the table. It was invaluable. So, again, I just think, you know, that type of advice, like, you know, make sure you're bringing value every day, you know, and again, never underestimate the importance of the positive attitude, being upbeat, bringing energy, finding ways to help your head coach, finding ways to help the coaching staff, finding ways to help the players. There's always ways to do that. And taking advantage of your opportunities, man. You get your foot in the door, like, you know, put your foot on the pedal, man, and all gas.
Dribble high and let it fly, right?
Dribble high, let it fly. We talk here about all gas, no brakes, and, you know, all those kinds of things. But, yeah, no, it's fun. Hope that helps.
Absolutely. Well, Jeff, I really do appreciate you jumping on and sharing some of this stuff with you, and wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Adam. Again, I really appreciate you having me on, and I speak on behalf of all coaches. I really appreciate all the efforts that you've done with Rising Coaches. I mean, the sacrifices that you've made. You, by choice, stepped aside, you know, from you know, some really good coaching positions at the college level, and you embraced the Rising Coaches and have just taken it to an unbelievable level. And I mean this sincerely. I listen to your podcast. I see the interest that's being drummed up, and I know the impact that it has on, you know, on young coaches and old coaches. And I think it's really cool. So again, I appreciate you, you know, letting me be part of it.
Thanks, Jeff. And I would be remiss if I didn't let White Snake take us out today.
I love it, man.
So thanks for being on. Thanks everybody for listening. And here we go.
Awesome. And for it to be a true story.
Great song. All right, Jeff. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Adam, all the best. Take care, my friend.